Hi there, welcome along. It's The Sweet Spot. It's Bruce Millington and Steve Palmer. It's the final show of the year. As always, we will be looking ahead to this week's tournament. It's got two tournaments, and we'll be looking back on last week, because what a week it was. I'll tell you what, Steve, on Thursday morning, I booted up the computer, went on to europeantour.com, did what you always tell me to do, scroll down to the bottom and read from the bottom up. And the first name I saw was Jaden Shaper, our headline selection, on about plus seven, propping up the whole field. And I thought, oh, this is going to be one of those weeks in a bad way. But it turned out to be one of those weeks in a good way, didn't it? Well done. Congratulations. A 225-1 winning tip. Friston, the Piston Lawrence, one of your six selections for the Joburg Open. Oh, it was crazy, wasn't it? How are you feeling? Are you elated?
Yeah, I mean, Lady Luck has finally shown some mercy, because as you say, on that opening morning, you had the Jaden Shaper debacle and my boiler capitulated as well.
Oh, the boiler's gone. So what a double.
Yeah, I just thought, here we go again. Lady Luck's going to bend me over, provide more torture. And then, a couple of days later, she's serving up, she's in a French maid's outfit, serving up the healthiest portion of luck I've ever had.
It was incredible, wasn't it? Ludicrously lucky.
I mean, I fancied Lawrence to defend over 54 holes. I think he would, he didn't have much to beat. He had a nice little cushion. I think he would have done it. But, the big slice of luck was the fact that, the new strain came in and they ruled out Sunday's play. If it was 72 holes, I think he would have struggled to defend that. But, we didn't need to worry about it. So, thank goodness me and Lady Luck are dancing again.
Yeah, I'm glad someone can see the positive side of a new potentially lethal variant of COVID. But you've got to say what you can in this game, I suppose.
Every cloud.
Well, indeed. Let's just recap very quickly what happened. So basically, after 36 holes, it all seemed perfectly normal. Friston the Piston had forced his way to the front. He had a nice big lead. And then on the Friday morning, loads of players had defected, because obviously we've got the Omicron variant, isn't it? That coming out of South Africa. So a lot of the European players had scrambled to get home, because the UK government had said, if you're not back by Saturday lunchtime, you're done for. So a lot of European players skedaddled at that point. And then on Friday night, they announced, didn't they, that it was going to be 54 holes with an early start to let all the other players who needed to travel to do so. So that was good news, because Thriston obviously only had one more round to go. They finished the second round on Saturday morning. The leaders teed off. Lawrence bogeyed the first, and we were all thinking, oh, I've seen this film before. And then a thunderstorm, lightning descended on the course. Play was delayed for ages. And then in the end, they just said, right, that's it. We're done. 36 holes. Thriston the Piston is the champ. And we won, didn't we? Now, I know, Steve, that you'd like your 225-1 tip to be sealed with a 50-foot snaking putt on the final green. But we'll take anything these days, won't we?
Absolutely. I mean, it was a very, very tense Saturday afternoon waiting for the confirmation, wasn't it? I mean, he got a nice drive away on the third. It looked like he'd settled down a little bit. Decent drive at the third, three-shot lead, and then the hooter went. And, I thought it was a disaster, because he's settled down. He's going to have to go back out again and start again. But then they never went back out there. And, we knew what the sunset time was in Johannesburg. So when it reached that point where, it's physically impossible for them to get round, there was still an hour of fannying around. Poor old Jamie Spence in the studio, a good friend of mine.
He had to fill that, did he?
Yeah, yapping away. And I was texting him, saying, this is over. This is over. It's physically impossible to complete the round. What are you talking about? Just tell people it's over and pay out the Lawrence backers.
Did he reply to your texts?
Eventually, he's a bit busy talking to Haddock, trying to generate material. But him and Spencey and Haddock were just yapping away, and I was just thinking, surely this is over now. And then the tweet started dropping from the Sunshine Tour, and you check all the rule books, and 36 holes is all you need. So
Were you pacing around like a cat on a hot tin roof for that hour?
I suppose I was pacing around like a very fat cat on a hot tin roof. I was edgy. I didn't want him to go back out, obviously, because I knew 36 holes was enough. There was a lot of conjecture in the betting community, wasn't there, of whether that was enough. But every rule book was crystal clear. If they gave him the trophy and the check, we were safe as houses. I mean, we've been in this game for a long time. Remember the Nissan Open many moons ago when Adam Scott won that? And the, you know, it's betting chaos, but you know, the bookmakers.
Was that the one where they delayed it for about 6 months, or am I thinking of the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro? I don't know. There was one that was delayed for months, wasn't there?
Yeah. I think you're thinking of a different one, but this was a straight 36 holer. And you know, as I say, betting chaos in many moons ago, but now the bookmakers have got their rule books a lot tighter, haven't they? So all you needed to do was click on the sites and you could see you were going to get paid out. It was just glorious. You know, such a relief to get back on track. You know, particularly with the boiler blowing. I'll probably all my winnings have to go on that now.
Oh my God. They're not cheap, are they, boilers?
They're not cheap. I mean, the water pressure just keeps dropping out. Yeah, this is riveting TV, this, isn't it? It just keeps dropping out.
And then you're going to go for a combi or a gas immersion, do you think?
It took me about 5 hours to work out where the knobs were to fill it up again. But yeah, I just keep filling it up and then it conks out and then I fill it up again. So sorry, this is not what they've come
but
to.
But you don't want to spend your winnings on just a boiler, do you? A silly old boiler. I mean, that's horrific, isn't it?
No.
How did you celebrate?
I'd celebrated with some tinctures. Yeah, you'll be unsurprised. Yeah, you won't be surprised to know. Yeah, some tinctures. They were turning on the Christmas lights in Dorchester. I had to go and watch that to keep the kids happy. But yeah, a few tinctures and it just feels like a weight's been lifted because it's not been the greatest of years. But yeah, you just need one of these to come good and your bank balance is sorted.
I'm delighted for you, Steve. That's great news. Did they get a minor local celebrity to turn on the Christmas lights in Dorchester, or was it like the mayor or something?
I actually missed that because I went round the pub for a bit more celebratory. Yeah. I said, you mind if I have another quick one in the pub that was nearby? And I got the timings wrong. It was 6 o'clock there, and I said I'd be back at 6. You know, and I just got muddled up and turned back at 6:30, and they were already on. So I'm not sure, but the kids seem happy, and Grace has got a LOL doll out of it, so everyone's happy.
Lovely stuff. And there was a really nice reaction. A lot of people on Twitter and on the comments in the YouTube as well. A lot of people had bets and it was really nice to see that. And people saying that Christmas is paid for. And, you know, so that was really, really nice. I think that, you know, I think we both had a small bet on Lawrence, which is nice. But it's great when other people actually do cash in and let you know that you've made a positive difference, isn't it?
Yeah, and the timing's superb, isn't it? Because there's a little bit of misery being generated by the ever lingering COVID, and Christmas is an expensive time of year, doesn't it? Unless you're the Grinch or Scrooge or whatever, everyone tries their hardest to buy presents for loved ones and that. And it's a horrible time of year if you're skint, isn't it? So yeah, I think the timing's good, and obviously so much more satisfying getting the big prize winners than the shorter price one, because you only need a fiver on there. Your casual punter has a fiver on at that price, and they're getting a nice healthy payout. So
absolutely. My favorite message, Steve, on Twitter was from Ollie, who says, I think I'm more buzzed for Steve than for myself. You two are a class double act every Tuesday. Thank you so much for that, Ollie. But then he says, my dad hates golf, but without fail watches every week. That's high praise. That really is. Ollie's dad, thanks so much for being part of the ever-growing Sweet Spot audience. That's great to hear. And Ollie, thanks for that lovely message. And I think, Steve, you were pretty much inundated, weren't you?
Oh, it's lovely. Yeah, lovely set of emails. You know, Adam Chamley, all my regulars were on. And there's punters that really get heavily involved every week in my selections, and they've had a torrid few months, loads of seconds. That's what I want about Lady Luck. She's been horrible to us. She's almost sort of laughably evil to us. and then suddenly, they say it all evens itself out of the course of a season. Maybe it's true, because that was ridiculously lucky, wasn't it? So I'm delighted for the regulars and anyone else who's dipped into it.
And it's a life changer for Thriston as well, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, there'd be a bit of resentment in the locker rooms, I think, because what he's got there, DP World Tour card, is so valuable, isn't it? And I saw Justin Harding was sounding off like a sore loser on the Twitter. He was fuming. 36 hours is not an event. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, there was a few sour grapes out there. For Thriston, I'm delighted for Thriston.
So am I.
You're Thriston the Piston. Good nickname there.
Do you like that? It's quite good there.
Lord Jesus Thrice was my one, but it doesn't quite work, does it? It doesn't quite work. We love Thriston. If you're watching Thriston, there's a lot of love on these shores for you.
There certainly is, He's become a Sweet Spot legend in 36 holes, hasn't he?
He's a big cuddly boy, isn't he? if I had access to him, I don't know what I would have done to him. I would, certainly would have given him a big man hug.
Oh, that would have been nice. And finally, can Nick expect a bulging stocking?
The actress said to the bishop. Our present is back on the agenda. It was going to be zero presents either way. And now I'll have to put my thinking cap on. Yeah.
That opens a whole new can of worms, doesn't it? Because they always say they've dropped out of hints, don't they?
Yeah, what's there? A chocolate orange never lets anyone down, does it? But I'll see what I can find.
Lovely stuff. Well, listen, from me to you, Steve, well done, mate. I know how hard you try with your selections every week. You beat yourself up far too much, but I was absolutely delighted for you. What we need to do going into next year is try and remember, is it Rudyard Kipling? We've got to treat joy and despair as the same and not get too high and not get too down, eh?
It's true. I mean, the best golfers do that and the best golf punters do that. Your Nick Faldo mentality is what you need. Treat birdies and bogeys the same. But it's not something I've ever managed to achieve. But, you never know.
Let's enjoy the good times, in fully and not get too down during the bad ones. I think that's a good New Year's resolution, eh?
I think that is a good New Year's resolution, yeah.
Right, then, let's see if we can ice the cake. Two tournaments this week. We'll start with the South African Open. Now then, because of the COVID disruption, this has been downgraded from a European Tour event to a Sunshine Tour event, which might make you think that, I don't know, let's try and think of an obscure South African golfer. Danny Van Tunder might be favourite at 6-4 or something. But no, really good field. Let's have a quick spin through the betting to see how good. At the top of the market, anyway, it's terrific. Christian Bedwiesenhout is 6-1 favourite. Dean Burmester is 11. Dylan Fratelli, 12. Garrick Higo, 12. So four of the really top South Africans there. Johannes Veerman, 14. Sean Norris, 16. Valco Nienaber, 22. Justin Harding, bad loser, 22. Gorgeous George is 33. Brandon Stone's 33. And you don't have to go too far down to find Tristan the Piston at 60. Wouldn't that be funny if he follows up? And if he does, I hope he gets his putter and jabs it into Justin Harding's chest and go, there you go. What you got to say for yourself now, sunshine? Right then, Steve. Decent field, this, isn't it?
It is. It's surprisingly good. Yeah. I mean, lower prize money. No sort of riches and rewards like Tristan the Piston got it for the winner. But a very, very interesting event, a great course. Gary Player Country Club, Sun City, South Africa, 7,834 yards, par 72. We playing at altitude, so the ball's fly a bit further, but that's still a very long layout. Challenging tee to green test. You need to drive well to succeed it. Home of the Neddy, as we like to call it, and the Ned Bank Challenge for 40 years, best part of 40 years. The last one of them was in 2019. The last South African Open a year ago was played at the Gary Player Country Club. And there are lots of low-grade Sunshine Tour events played there too. The Dimension Data, Pro-Am from 1996 to 2009, the Nashua Golf Challenge 2007-2011, the Sun City Challenge from 2016 to present day, and even a new one this year, the Blue Label Challenge, staged there for the first time this year. So loads of course form for us to plough through.
Brilliant. How many selections, Steve? What's that you're drinking? What's happened to the Diet Coke?
That's H2O. Yeah, I haven't got any Diet Coke in the fridge. That's pure water. I've got a big dry mouth today. A little excitement, I think.
You can't beat water, Drinking water during the day is so good for you, I think.
Yeah, it's a very, very precious commodity, isn't it? I have four selections.
Is your throat not good?
I just thought we'd lost momentum there, to use one of your favourite words. I'll try my best.
Okay, how many selections, Steve?
Oh, I've still got the heater on as well. That's not working. I got four layers on and the heater. I wonder why I was feeling
like that. How many layers?
Four!
Okay, that's it. A good lusty four. Come on, we've got to keep up traditions here. Keep your standards. Yeah, right then, who's the headliner?
The headline, sweet spot regular. We love this boy. Valco Nienaber at 25-1. The Bloemfontein bomber, no less. Bloemfontein, only a five-hour drive from Sun City. So Nienaber doubtless got some practice there at the Gary Player Country Club as a youngster. It looked like it last year. It was his pro debut at the course last year. Never played a pro event at the Gary Player, but he tied for 11th place in that South African Open. We were on him last year. It was a really difficult journey over the weekend. I don't know if you remember. Three double bogeys over the weekend. One on Saturday, two on Sunday. Still finished 11th. He made 20 birdies that week. A year later, more mature, more well-rounded player. I expect him to cut out those horror holes and be in the thick of things throughout. Storms are predicted on tournament eve. Storms are predicted over the weekend. I think Sun City's going to be playing. Well, Sun City's going to be playing very soft, gentle breezes throughout. Neighbour can open his shoulders and show why he's one of the most promising players in the world.
Okay, and those storms that soften the course, of course, the benefit of that to the long players is that they can whack it. And normally, if there's a load of run and it goes off into the rough and the deep stuff, it just stops on the cut and prepared. That's the theory, isn't it?
That's correct. That's correct. And Valco will be licking his lips at the setup this week.
Okay. Valco Nienaber, 22-1, roughly. Shop around for best prices and play. Sermons, as we always say, is the main selection. Who is the principal danger, do you think, Steve?
That, my friend, is Oliver Becker at 55-1. A 36-year-old South African, born in Pretoria, two-hour drive from Sun City. He's won seven times on the Sunshine Tour. One of those victories came at the Gary Player Country Club, 2016 Sun City Challenge, held his nerve for a one-shot triumph. His best result of 2008 was at the Gary Player Country Club, 13th place in the Dimension Data. He was 20th in the South African Open at the track last year. So the course form is there. The current form is really encouraging. He's had an up and down career as Becker, playing on different tours. He was a Corn Ferry Tour player in 2019. In April this year, he decided to switch his attention to the Challenge Tour. Bold move, bold decision, as Phil Neal would say. Basically, he had to live out of a suitcase for months. He had to leave a young family behind in South Africa. Yeah, travel not easy. It paid off big time. Four top three finishes on the Challenge Tour. Finished seventh in the Challenge Tour Grand Final to wrap up his DP World Tour card. So he's got a DP World Tour card for the year ahead. Life is rosy for Oliver Becker. Probably not the most famous Becker in the sporting world. You know, Boris Becker probably still edges him there, but maybe it won't be long before Oliver Becker takes over as King of the Beckers.
Blimey, I've never heard of him. Oliver Becker, mind you, this time last week we were talking, we'd never heard of Tristan the Piston, had we? And look what happened there.
Let's hope history repeats itself.
Indeed. Right then, third up.
Two more big prices. Lyle Rowe, 125-1. Lyle Rowe is a South African journeyman, 34 years of age, three-time Sunshine Tour champion. The last of those victories came at the Gary Player Country Club a month and a half ago in that new blue label challenge that I mentioned. That's a Stableford event. And Rowe claimed his first victory for 5 years. And that was the culmination of a lovely little burst of form from August onwards. He's had three top sixes on the Sunshine Tour. And last week, opened with a disappointing 75, but his second round 67 hauled him up to 43rd place. Only four players outscored Lyle Rowe in the second round and the final round of the Joburg Open. So, I think he's worth chancing at big prices this week.
Trumps.
And the same can be said of our final selection. Our final selection is Alex Heindl. Alex Heindl at 150-1.
These people real? Do they actually exist?
Alex, are you getting Heindl a handle on that one now?
I am, yeah. Alex Heindl.
Alex
Tell
Heindl.
Me about him.
Another course winner. We got three course winners going to post for us this week. He won at the Gary Player Country Club in June this year in the Sunbet Challenge. So, he led all the way in that, held on to win by one. And then he followed up with another Sunshine Tour victory at the end of August. He was 20th in the Blue Label Challenge, won by Lyle Rowe in October. So Alex Heindl's got four top 20 finishes on this track. He's a four-time Sunshine Tour champion at the age of 38. He's no mug. He had a year on the European Tour in 2012. He's played well in those co-sanctioned events. The Joburg Open, he's played well twice before. He's played well in the Alfred Dunnell. So Alex Heindl, no mug, 151 big prize.
Wow. Should we have a quick word on the four market leaders? Because obviously a lot of people will be interested there. If you were backing one of those four, who would it be?
Good question. Really no interest in any of them.
Okay, fair enough.
Tristan Bevidenhout is a very, very short price for me. He got back-to-back wins. He won this last year in the South African Open on this course by five shots. He was coming off a victory in the Alfred Dunhill, full of form and confidence and hunger. I think there's a big difference this year. He's just got a PGA Tour card from the Corn Ferry Tour Finals. I think his focus is stateside. He hasn't been playing well the last couple of events. The soggy conditions, if we get them, won't suit him. So, yeah, Bezine now short price. Burmester surely knackered, fifth event in a row. He looked drained last week, I think.
Didn't you, going into last week, that he was running on fumes, didn't you?
Yeah, flopping short price favourite. I think maybe he's one to avoid as well.
Been out of form as well, hasn't he?
And he flattered to deceive last week, started fast. You know, he's such an angry man, Fratelli, isn't he? Yeah, something goes wrong and he seems to have a real temper on him these days. None of them None of them.
What about Gazza Higo? Because he looked back in the spring like he was going to take the world by storm, didn't he? Whatever that means.
Yeah. Gazza Higo. Yeah. I mean, he's a course winner. He's won one of those low grade events that I was talking about at Gary Player Country Club. But yeah, the form has disappeared, isn't it? Maybe he would be the most appealing. Well, Johannes Veerman is virtually a market leader as well.
You're right, actually. Yeah, there isn't a big four as such, is there?
No, so maybe Veerman. He's got going again. He had a month off and he's sort of coming to the ball a little bit. So yeah, probably Veerman. But yeah, I'd like to go a little bit further in the betting to get to knee neighbour.
Okay, brilliant stuff. You're fishing for bigger fish than those market leaders. That's excellent, right? And that was the South African Open. Let's look ahead to our other tournament, which is the Hero World Challenge. And there's only one of 20, is it 20 runners in this, Steve?
Yeah, it used to be 18. We've gone up to 20, yeah. Tigers decided to invite a couple more.
Righto, it starts on Thursday. Oh, by the way, start times are important. This one starts at 2 o'clock on Thursday. The South African one will start crack of dawn Thursday, so get your bets on Wednesday night. Because there are only 20 runners, you're unlikely to get too many flash each way terms. What have you seen maximum in terms of places, Steve?
5th to 5, I think.
I've seen a 5th to 5. Yeah. Okay. Right. Well, here's a show that I've seen, which will give you a clue as to how the market is working. Rory McIlroy 7 to 1. Colin Morikawa 15 to 2. Justin Thomas 11. Victor Hovland 11. Jordan Spieth 12. Bryson 12. Xander Schauffele 14. Tony Finau 16. So is Sam Burns. So is Scotty Scheffler. And it's 18 bar. So not all the big names, but most of the big names are out to play this week, and it's really, really competitive. Very interesting tournament. Just tell me very quickly, what is this thing? I mean, how come we've got one with all these big names and only 20 runners?
There is a qualification criteria now that has changed through the years. It's become a PGA Tour event. It used to just be Tiger inviting his mates for a bit of a shindig, and he always won it, didn't he? I mean, there's been some great Hero World Challenges through the year. Well, you know, it used to be the Target, didn't it? The Target World
Challenge.
Oh, that's
right, yeah.
Yeah, you remember your Tiger Woods, Graham McDowell, your Tiger Woods, Zach Johnson. We've had some fun in this tournament over the years. It's just got a little bit more serious with the qualification criteria. Yeah, John Rahm's not playing. Yeah, there's a few players that can't be bothered. Tiger Woods is not playing. Have you seen the Tiger Woods latest?
Yeah, he's doing a presser today. He did an interview with one of the American magazines, and he feels happy, doesn't he? I love the quote where he said that he's not going to get back to winning majors again, but he said he'd like to pop up in the old tournament. And do you know the thing I loved? He said, "Do you know, I'm looking forward to is just taking an hour or two in the back garden, no one talking, no phone, just sit there listening to the birds singing." I mean, don't we all just want that?
Yeah. Well, he might get an allotment by the sounds of it. No, he might become, Fowler.
It's not great with a dodgy back, is it, an allotment? All that hoeing and whatever else goes on.
Need a long spade, wouldn't you? You need a broom handle spade.
You're allowed to anchor the broom handle spade, do you think? Then?
That's a good question. I didn't hear that quote. No, I mean, it's sort of mixed feelings on it, wasn't it? You're saying he's ruling out full-time PGA. We all had these dreams, didn't we? We all woke up in the middle of the night with these dreams, didn't we?
He said he's climbed the mountain once and he can't climb it again. And I get that. I think that's nice. Why force yourself to do it again? He's done everything he needs to do. He needs serenity in his life now.
Yeah. No, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. Jack Nicklaus would be happy, wouldn't he?
Yeah. So anyway, the top 20 qualifier for this, do they? And it's 72-hole stroke play with a cut.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah. No cut. No cut. 20. Yeah, 72-hole stroke play, no cut. Yeah, there's nothing sinister about it.
Okay. Well, name me a golf tournament where there was anything sinister about it. So they suddenly start shooting some of the players who don't play well enough. I mean, interesting word there. Whereabouts are we?
We're in the Bahamas. I mean, it couldn't get less sinister, could it? The beautiful Bahamas, the Albany, 7,309 yards, par 72, hosted from 2015 onwards. Ernie Els designed the track. Wide open desert track. Hardly any
desert. It can't be a desert track. We're in the Bahamas.
Desert. They sort of bill it as a desert links. Yeah, links. Yeah, they try. And, Ernie Els has tried to sell his product as a wide open desert links. Yeah. And if Ernie Els says it, that's good enough for me. Five par fives is the key to scoring. So that's fascinating. And no wind expected. Well, nothing serious. No serious wind. So it's going to be a birdie fest. You need 20 under par minimum, I say, to win this.
Incredible, wasn't it, Steve, that Stenson won this last show? I was doing a modicum of research. I was like, how did Stenson beat this lot? He beat all the world's best players, didn't he? That must have
been he broke my heart in two. Yeah, I'll never forget it. Well, it's 2 years ago. We didn't have one last year.
Of course.
Yeah, 2 years ago, he broke my heart in two. I had a big old bet on John Rahm, if I may say so. And John Rahm just got pit by Stenson, broke my heart in two. And I was at the in-laws. I was watching that with my father-in-law, and I had to sort of, you know, you always have to retain composure in those situations.
Yeah.
And it was difficult one, that. But yeah, hopefully.
Make out you've had a £2 each way, yeah?
That's it, yeah, yeah, on a 4-1 chance, yeah. No, it's it was tricky.
Right then, when you've only got 20 runners, how many selections do you allow yourself?
I'm fluid on that, yeah, no hard and fast rules, but I have three this time.
Okay, then let's fire away with the main selection.
Best bet, 14-1, Xander Schauffele. The Hero World Challenge is a PGA Tour event. Xander Schauffele has not won a PGA Tour event since January 2019. That's blimey. A victory. It's a victory drought of almost 3 years now. Is it, you know, if it gets to 3 years, that's an almost criminally long failure for a player of Xander Schauffele's class. You know, he's an elite player, technically weakness-free, but he's let a lot of winning chances slip through his fingers the last couple of years.
Is that not his weakness, though, Steve?
Well, I said technically.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Mentally, you might ask a couple of questions, but technically, there's no, every department of his game is strong. I think those failures, he brings huge motivation with him. And I think motivation and desire is crucial this week. You know, Christmas is coming. The goose is getting fat. brains are switching off from golf. Yeah, plenty of players in this field will be on autopilot. Xander Schauffele won't be. Yeah, this victory drought is annoying the hell out of him. He's, you know, so consistent. He's world number four, for Pete's sake. But the trophies haven't been coming. He won the Olympic gold medal in August. I'm sure you remember. Boost to his confidence. Yeah, there's a big boost to his confidence. He played really well in the Tour Championship again from a poor handicap mark. And then he made a really excellent Ryder Cup debut. Three wins from four matches. He's finished 8th and 10th in the two previous Heroes he's had at Albany. I think he'll strongly contend this time. His last win was at Kapalua. Loves island golf. The Bahamas, right up his alley. And three of his four PGA Tour wins have come in these no-cut events, these small field no-cut events.
Terrific. You make a very strong case there. I must say, going back to the Olympics, you know when you always say, you must remember this, you must remember that, and I never can. in hopefully, you know, God willing, we're still here doing the sweet spot in 10, 20 years, to, well, it won't be 20 years' time, will it? But, you know, whenever you refer back to the Olympics of 2022, I will always remember the seven-man playoff for bronze. I just thought it was,
of course,
compelling view, and I loved it.
CT Pan's wife's hat. Yeah, that's another reason to remember it. Yeah, it was. It was just one of those mornings that would live forever in our memory.
Long in the memory, yeah, absolutely. Okay, so Xander Schauffele is Steve's headline selection. Who is your next best?
Next best is Bryson DeChambeau at 12-1. Again, motivation is there. Last week's, the only way before last week's match against Brooks Koepka, didn't go well for DeChambeau. He lost 5-3 in the match. He was rusty and underprepared. He said he hadn't touched a golf club for months. It was really surprising. You know, I thought he'd be more up for winning the match than he was. He turned up wearing shorts. He's wearing shorts. He started handing out cupcakes on the first tee. You know, Bryson DeChambeau did not take it as seriously as I thought he would do.
I thought that was supposed to be some sort of beefy kind of boxing style thing where they'd have a ring walk and they come snarling to the first tee. I certainly didn't expect cupcakes to be involved.
No. I thought it was going to be a nasty atmosphere, and that's what everyone wanted. He turns up in shorts and with cupcakes, a tray of cupcakes. So, he didn't seem to have prepared for it, but I think he'll come on for that run. I think he would be slightly sort of humbled if Bryson DeChambeau could ever be humbled by what happened. And I think he'd be looking to, avenge that. You're looking out the window at something.
Sorry, there's a red kite flying above the field outside my house. Yeah, incredible. Yeah.
A bird or a child's toy?
I know, a bird.
A bird. Oh, wow. Tom Kite's flying by, is it?
Yeah. Sorry, mate. That caught my attention briefly.
No.
I am listening. You said that Bryson DeChambeau will come on for the run.
Yes. I think he'll prepare properly for the Hero now. You know, since the match, I think he would have been knuckling down and getting ready for the Hero. He hasn't got to learn about the course because Albany is his close season practice base. He knows Albany like the back of his hand, so he can just get his swing sorted. His iron play was a bit, his iron play was poor last week in the match. But he was in great nick in the FedEx Cup playoffs. He was superb in the Ryder Cup. He was unbeaten through three matches. He thrashed Sergio Garcia in the singles. The Ryder Cup was a massive psychological boost for DeChambeau. Yeah, he got the crowd on his side. You know, he had a sort of love-hate relationship with the crowd, but he's now an American hero. He's made no impact in previous starts in the Hero, but I think that changes this week. Knows the course well. 5 par 5s to attack. Bryson DeChambeau, with the rust out of his system, is dangerous.
Okay, we've got Chauvelet, we've got Deschambeau, and we've got...
Finally, the fine young man, Justin Rose. Rose, 28-1. I've got three good putters on my side this week, Chauvelet, Deschambeau and Rose. They've all become really efficient operators on the greens. Yeah, none of them got a pretty putting stroke, but their putting stats are great. It's a revelation how Rose has turned a weakness into a strength on the greens. I think you have to putt well this week. Scoring's going to be extremely low. Rose, you can get to 20-something under par. He spent many years living in the Bahamas, still devotes a lot of practice time there. He loves practicing in the Bahamas. He would have prepared for this tournament better than anyone else in the field, in my opinion. This is a massive event for Rosie. The hero carries world ranking points. Rose is 47th in the world rankings. He'll be looking to cement his position in the top 50 of the world rankings. It's time for Rosie to knuckle down. I sense he has done. He played the RSM Classic and finished 12th in that. Nice little warm-up. He was fuming to miss the Ryder Cup, was Rosie. Like Chauvelet, January 2019 was his last PGA Tour win. And you mentioned Henrik Stenson. Got his career back on track in this event 2 years ago. I can see Rosie doing the same, repeating the trick of his old mate there. His Hero World Challenge form figures, last three events, 5-3-5. He loves the Albany.
Lovely. I can't imagine Justin Rose has ever fumed in his life. He's just so pleasant and affable, isn't he?
Oh, he's got some fume in him. Yeah. He's got a temper. Yeah, he's a fine young man, but he gets as angry as the next man. Yeah.
Really? Yeah. I've never seen that. Yeah. Oh, okay, Steve. Thank you very much indeed for that. Let's reiterate your tips in case anyone managed to miss one or two of them. We'll start with the South African Open.
Valco Nienaber, Oliver Becker, Lyle Rowe, Alex Heindel.
I can't remember the last time we had a tournament where I had never heard of three of your four selections. Okay, and the Hero Challenge.
Xander Schauffele, Bryson DeChambeau, Justin Rose.
Lovely stuff. Thank you very much, Steve. Right, that's it. That's a wrap for the year. So we've got... It all calms down. There's no European action from now. And we've got, what have we got on in America in December? We've got the QBE shootout or something, haven't we, next week?
Yeah, because they cancelled the Alfred Dunhill Championship. We're supposed to be playing next week for the COVID situation. So no Leopard Creek. Yeah, we're all pretty devastated.
Oh, that's a shame, isn't it?
Poor old Tony Johnson. Won't get to go. Maybe he can just go anywhere and just,
They should do Tony Johnson's Leopard Creek wildlife. That'd be brilliant, wouldn't it? They could get him and Radar out there. I think that'd be really good.
Yeah, Radar could play the sort of Steve Irwin role, couldn't he?
Yeah, that's a great shout.
Take some risks. Put his head in a hippopotamus's mouth or something. Mm. But so all we got is the QBE shootout next week. We'll cover that in the Racing Post and all the various, but there just won't be a sweet spot by the sounds of it.
No need, is there? We'll dust it. We'll go into the garage in a box with straw like a tortoise, and then the producers, Will and Dan, will get us out in January, and we'll hopefully be back for more fun and hoopla and maybe a winner or two, eh?
Century Tournament of Champions. Yeah, we'll be back for the Century Tournament of Champions in Hawaii.
Brilliant. Have you sorted out your Christmas plans? Where are you for Christmas? Around the in-laws or mum and dad's?
My priority first is getting this boiler sorted, because all my family will freeze to death over Christmas unless I get it. So I got a man called Barry coming round this afternoon.
Barry is a good boiler mender's name, that, isn't it? If you're having 10 guesses at the bloke who's coming around to do your boiler, you'd have Barry in there, wouldn't you?
Barry the boiler man. You know where you are with a Barry, don't you?
Massively, yeah.
Tends to be very sort of trustworthy, salt of the earth characters. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to meeting Barry.
Where did you get him from? Was he a personal recommendation, or did you go and
check a trade? You type in check a trade. The wife showed me how to do it. You type in your situation and then await a phone call, and Bazzer, as I hope to be calling him once he's fixed my boiler, was the first one in.
So when's he round?
Bazzer said he's coming around at 4 p.m.
I'm slightly dubious about a tradesman who's free, though, because good tradesmen are normally booked up, aren't they? They're normally like, oh, God, I can't do anything. Have you checked his ratings out?
Yeah. Well, this was the problem. The first two I rung couldn't come for a week. And then so then the wife suggested doing that check a trade thing. And this is what happened. But I don't know. Yeah, don't put doubts in my mind about Bazzer. I've got high hopes for Bazzer. I mean, these boiler situations. I mean, this would be, who's that fella's dad who watches, hates the golf? He'd be pleased. Ollie's dad.
Perhaps he's in the boiler game, Ollie's dad. So this might make his day even more. We're not talking about stupid golf. We're talking about boilers.
Well, all I was going to say was there's a huge difference between like a little part or something, like a little replacement part will cost about 20 quid or something, wouldn't it? And then, but a whole new boiler, you know, just could, you know, you could be talking thousands, couldn't you? So
yeah, I think if he goes straight to the, oh, it's all, you know, the main piston, oh, but not talk about pistons. You know, if that's gone, then you need a new one. You might want a second opinion. But anyway, good luck with the boiler. Yeah. But then yeah, all systems go for December. You can wind down, can't you, and forget about golf and then come back fit and firing in the new year, right?
Yeah. No. We'll come back strong. We'll come back stronger than you can possibly imagine.
Great. Well, that's good news. Listen, what I want to say most of all, thank you very much indeed, Steve. But thank you for making the show what it is. The audience is growing. We've got thousands of people watching each week. We love your comments. We love the thumbs ups. And we would love to hear who you fancy this week. Great news for everyone who backed the Piston last week. Let's hope we get a bit more luck this week. But don't forget, a punter is at their most vulnerable when they've just backed a winner. So if you did back Lawrence last week, please don't start betting in unusual amounts. Keep your stakes small and hopefully you can win another few quid. Thanks so much for joining us on The Sweet Spot in 2021. Thanks to Will and to Dan, the producers who do such a great job. And we will see you next year for some more Sweet Spots.